Everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Look, today I want to talk about doubt. I think it's an important subject. I think it's things that we all struggle with and things that we all go through. But doubt is one of those things that I think maybe sometimes we're ashamed to even admit that we have doubt. But it is important. It's important for us to recognize that and then try to figure out, like, how do we overcome it? How do we identify that it's doubt? And so, you know, if reading through scripture, there's multiple times when, you know, Christ has appeared to different people, and there's multiple times that he performed multiple miracles. And there's multiple times where you can see doubt within the Bible. And at the end of the day, every one of these instances are worthy of study. And maybe one day we'll get to them. But there's really one instance that I want to talk about, that I want to focus on today, because I think it's important, right? You know, we recently we're in that kind of season where we just had Easter, and, you know, it's a couple weeks after that. And so this is the time, you know, the 40 days after the resurrection. And so I want to talk about doubting Thomas. I want to talk about Thomas, right? And so what I want to do is I want to read John 20, verses 24 through 29. And I'm going to read from the NIV version. And it says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" See, on the day that Jesus rose, he appeared to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't with them. Now, in all the research I've done, there's a ton of discussion as to why Thomas wasn't there. You know, maybe he was just so overwhelmed with grief, or maybe his faith had started to turn away, and maybe he just didn't want to join the other disciples. I don't know. And honestly, we can discuss the reasons back and forth, but what I can see in scripture is it doesn't tell us why he wasn't there. We just know he wasn't. And as a result, we have this, probably what is one of the greatest professions of doubt that has followed Thomas throughout history. I mean, it's the reason that we refer to him as Doubting Thomas. And I think everyone's ego, to some extent, would probably love to be remembered for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. But would you want to be remembered like Thomas? For doubting the Lord and Savior? For doubting Christ, the Messiah? When you walked with him? Do you think we've been fair to Thomas throughout these years? I don't know the answer to that, but at the end of the day, he wasn't there with the other disciples, and he missed this incredible blessing. But 1 week after the resurrection, Jesus came again, but this time Thomas was present. And then we get to see Thomas make this great profession of faith when he says, "My Lord, my God." But we also get to hear Jesus say some important words. And he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Wow. I mean, you know, this is over 2,000 years ago. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Nobody today has seen, but we believe. You know, in our lives, I said, everybody has doubt. And so what I want to ask is, how many of us have thought something similar? Now, maybe it's not, you know, the exact, hey, I want to put my fingers in the nails. Maybe it's not clear like that. We've never said, hey, I want to put my hand inside you, but we've doubted, right? Maybe we've asked, Lord, show me so I can believe, show me a sign, show me something, come to me, Lord, help me out of my doubt. We probably didn't hear, put your finger here, reach out your hand and put it inside like Thomas did. But I'm telling you today that Jesus has shown us enough to say, stop doubting and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. You know, I think it's important, right? I think it's important to think about and talk about. You know, and as we look at this, we could ask the question, what do we know about Thomas? Well, he was one of the 12 apostles, right? There are four places in the New Testament that list the 12 apostles, and Thomas is listed each time. And that is listed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. And even though the Gospel of John doesn't list them all explicitly, he clearly says Thomas was one of the 12. Just as I read earlier in John, Thomas was a skeptic about the resurrection. That earned him the nickname Doubting Thomas. And while today we can critique his lack of faith, he wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one who had doubts about the resurrection. If we read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the other disciples doubted the resurrection as well, right? I mean, on Sunday morning after the crucifixion, the women went to the tomb and they found the stone rolled away. And they had to tell the apostles, but they doubted, right? We can see that if we read Luke 24:11, it says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense, right? Because at this time, once you're dead, you're put in the tomb, there's this big rock, there's guards, like you're dead. You're not coming back to life, right? At this time, when Jesus had made that statement of, you know, in 3 days, I will rebuild this temple, they didn't know he was talking about himself. You know, and as I dug into this, there's a lot of things that I felt, there's a lot of things that I thought. And one of the things that I've really thought about, and for a long time, I thought that fear was the opposite of faith. That because I was afraid, I didn't have faith, right? But I've recently heard different when I was listening to a sermon by my pastor. And what I've learned is that opposites are concrete. They're clearly defined, right? Up is the opposite of down. It's a clear definition. Hot is the opposite of cold. Right is the opposite of left. So fear can't be the opposite of faith. And the reason I say that is because faith is a choice. And fear is a feeling. If a feeling can have an opposite, it has to be another feeling. If a choice has an opposite, it has to be another choice. So now, as I've thought through this and I've prepared to do this and I've prayed about it, I really believe the opposite of faith is doubt. You can choose to have faith and you can choose to have doubt. And honestly, we have to be careful because doubt will tell us to distance ourselves from Christ. Doubt will tell us to distance ourselves from friends, to isolate ourselves, you know, and I'm not trying to normalize it. Maybe I'm trying to normalize it. I don't know, but having doubt is a normal part of life, period. That's how it works, right? We live with doubt most of the time. But the important thing is to make sure that doubt doesn't become debilitating to our lives. You know, when we think about different stages of our lives, right? Maybe if you're listening, at some point in your life, you were an alcoholic or you were an addict. How many people doubted that you could get clean? You might even have doubted, right? It's not an easy thing. Do you have doubts about your future? Do you have doubts about your job? Do you have doubts about your relationships? How do you feel? These are all feelings of uncertainty, right? So like I said, if a feeling can have an opposite, it has to be another feeling, right? When I started my walk with Christ, I doubted that I was worthy of the love of, from him, right? I was worthy of his love. I didn't feel like I was worthy. I had all kinds of doubts. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I didn't think I was worthy of anybody's love, not even my wife's. We had already been married. She had continued to pray for me. If you've listened to this podcast, you know that I wasn't generally a good person and that my wife was just there to pray for me. But I doubted that anybody could actually love me. And so I want to make sure people understand that doubt, it's going to come to everybody, whether you're a believer or not, at some point. And it's probably going to come more than once. Maybe even more than twice. Things in our life happen that will cause us to question what we believe, that will cause us to question what we have been taught. And at some point, depending on where you are, maybe we're challenged by another person concerning their faith, right? Maybe they ask us a question. What about this? And if we can't answer this simple question, what does that say about our faith? I've always been really worried about that. I've always been really worried about being able to answer any question anyone asked. What if I was wrong? What if I couldn't answer it? I never felt like at first, right, when I was going through a lot of doubt about this walk and kind of what that means to me, I was always worried, what if I couldn't answer? What would it say about my knowledge? Why didn't God prepare me? Right? There's all these doubts and all this negative talk and all these thought distortions going on in my mind. Why didn't God prepare me? I think it's questions we all ask ourselves at some point, if I'm being honest. So, I just want to kind of break it down, right? I honestly think there's three reasons that we doubt, right? And I think the first reason probably sounds stupid, but it's because we want to do it all by ourselves. We can handle it on our own. We don't need God. We don't need Christ. I got this. I doubt he could help me anyways. The next way would be that we adopt worry as our own. Right? Scripture tells us to cast our burdens to Christ. We don't want to do that. We want to adopt it as our own. We want to worry about ourselves. He ain't got time for me. I doubt that he even loves me. Why would he worry for me? And the last one is we question the goodness of God. That goes back to the, I'm not worthy of the love. And when you say, I don't think I'm worthy of God's love, you're doubting how good he really is. He already loves you. You just have to accept it. That was really a hard concept for me at first. Like it didn't matter. He loves me. I just gotta repent of my sins. I don't think that's right. That doesn't sound right at all. But it is. It is absolutely accurate. So stop questioning God's goodness. So here's something else I'd say. We need to understand how we put doubt to rest. How do we kill it? How do we put doubt to death? And so I want to look at Hebrews, right? Hebrews chapter 6, 18 through 20 says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So as we just break this down, because I'm not going to go into super detail about these scriptures, I think it's important that you don't take my word for it. I've said this over and over. Take yours and go read it. But what we're being taught here as Christians is that we possess hope. And this hope is not merely some crazy desire, some, you know, big wish, please, 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 right? It's that we already possess it. It's deep within us, and it's based on the promises and the power of God. And if we look right here in verse 18, we are told by the writers of Hebrew that it is impossible for God to lie. Right? That's huge. And then in verse 19, it says, we have hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. This is a clear promise from God in reference to our security. And just like an anchor secures a boat, just like an anchor keeps it safe so that it won't float away or so that it won't crash against the shore, we have hope as an anchor. And those two words, firm and secure, they're important, right? Because secure means it's immovable, right? It's secure. And firm means it's something that we can rely on. That's why the anchor is so important. That's why it secures the boat, right? It secures you in your faith. That anchor. And then we finish verse 20 with the person who has gone before us, the forerunner, right? That's Jesus. He entered on our behalf. He went before to announce our future arrival. He went before to take possession of the glory in heaven on our behalf. He went before so that he can welcome us when we do arrive. Think about that. Jesus has entered on our behalf. Wow. The very fact that Jesus is our refuge, that Jesus is our anchor, that Jesus is our forerunner, should give us confidence in our salvation. So at the end of the day, if you have received Jesus, you're headed home. If you were saved, you are as sure for heaven as if you were already there. There is no need to doubt. There is no need to be afraid. There is a need, however, for the children of God to learn to take the Lord at his word. And when you take him as your word, at his word, just rejoice in the salvation which he has already given. We have already been given it. Take hope in the fact that God has saved you through Christ and trust in the fact that he will see you safely home to heaven. So I'm going to close this by letting you know there is doubt going to occur every day, but press in. Don't run away. Press in. Overlook your fears. Press into your faith, press into Christ, spend time with the Lord, and that doubt is going to go away. Hey, this is Rick with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. I hope you have a blessed day. Remember, we're on every podcast platform of choice. Go ahead and subscribe, share it with your friends. If there's something you want to talk about, send me a message at hello@nomadpastor.org. And if you're struggling or if you're looking for a local church and you need help, send me an email and I will help you find one in your area. You don't have to do this alone. If you got a prayer request, go ahead and send it to me. Remember, love God and love people.